Blog Talk Radio.
Where do we go from here? What do I do with this feeling? Longing to have you near. Knowing we shouldn't be dealing. Why must the bad things always feel so good? Why can't I just stay away? Though our situation was understood, still does not mean it's okay.
Destroy.
stronger in time. I won't go on alone. I won't
so completely home.
Can't hold on
right.
Whatever it is, I know that it's real. Long as you know, no.
Soul,
you must be my soul.
We got time to grow, to save, kissing you for me.
What we call the holiday break and some personal stuff. We're back at it. Welcome back to Tiffy Radio Universe, the Starship. Literally, we go where poetry goes and hasn't been before. Literally and figuratively, as I struggle to get my sound quality, everything up to par, label, do some other things. I feel a little bit rusty, but this is like breathing, so it's okay. Now, this is a For Real Entertainment Network, and everything that we over here, we encourage you to take your socks off. So baby, baby, trademark pending, For Real Poet. Welcome. The Hidden Radio Show. The Hidden Radio Show podcast is dedicated to bring you the best and some of the most unheard, unknown, or soon to blow, or people you should know. Poets, MCs, performers. We make sure that their voice is heard here. So, more importantly, normally the honey instrument was not this loud, but this month's feature is very special in many different ways. I believe in this thing called energy. I think that energy and love is some of the greatest currency that you could ever have on the face of the planet. And so for these two poets, they represent dope energy. I've had the pleasure of meeting one of them personally. I kind of picked on him the whole time. Right, because his energy is so good, and he's like, you know, when you see people with genuine energy, it's hard. And the other person, I got to see them move into coming to the clubhouse sphere and do incredibly dynamic poetry and have multiple, like, layers, deep, deep layers of incredible energy within their poems. And both of them are mental health advocates, and there's so much more to talk about, right? They're incredible, they're bright souls, and we brought them here to fly speak for you, the listener. And hopefully, if you're listening to us, as you know, our fly speak is pretty I would say insulated, I guess, has its own thing that it does. No two fly speaks are the same. Each one is dynamic and each one is absolutely fantastic, so this will be no different. And more importantly, I'm quite excited to actually bring you these two poets. So, as you know, when we're over here on FlySpeak, we like the live element. We open people's mics so that you can talk, have conversation, comment on the poetry, join the discussion when asked and things of that sort. So, let me bring you some incredible poets. Now, if you'd like to participate in open mic, please press 1, right? The other rule that we have is when poets are speaking, please mute yourself. If you have noise in the background, please mute yourself so I don't have to, right? If you're having a conversation, stuff going on, it's, you know, just mute yourself, right? It shows up in the podcast, and you don't want people knowing your personal business and it travels on. And this is an international podcast, just in case you didn't know. So, you know, people in different countries talking about, you know, they was really on some BS. All right. So, let me get my features this evening and bring them in before I bring in all the different people. So, the first person I'm bringing in is Encouraged Poet. And before I introduce her, Encouraged Poet is an international spoken word artist who speaks globally on topics such as mental health, healing, overcoming trauma, and conquering fear. Encouraged Poet believes that you can never stand in fear if you never stand in fear. And with her poetry, Encouraged Poet helps individuals transform their mental perspective, find their purpose, and generate more self-love. So, good people, I give you Encouraged Poet. Encouraged, are you there?
I am. Thank you for that amazing introduction. So much passion behind it.
Well, hey, listen, you got to give credit when the credit is due. You know, and I think this is a super special podcast tonight because we are going to talk about mental health this evening. We're going to talk about poetry and arts and how it affects that. So while we're waiting, let me go get the other feature. Mr. Ty Black, and let me introduce him properly. Hold on. Throw my other instruments on here so we can rock out, as you know. All right. Tyrone Blackwell, also known as Ty Black, is a perfect definition of work in progress. Born in a little city in Queens, New York. Queens is not little. He resided only blocks away from the Langston Hughes Public Library, where he was introduced to such classics as County Cullen, Nikki Giovanni, Maya Angelou, and obviously Langston Hughes. Ty didn't hit the stage as a performing poet until the late 90s. However, his first experience on the stage led him to believe that he was going in the wrong direction. He continued to write as a means of expression to be read in later years. The Fates had a different plan. While attending Georgia State University, Ty was introduced to the Conscious Collective, a student group and the Black Student Alliance, who hosted events to bring awareness to the arts. Fast forward to 2020, in the midst of the COVID pandemic and the volcano, as Ty is affectionately known, erupted onto social media. As a member of the Galaxy of Poets, Ty has hosted open mics, mental health check-ins, creating safe space for artists to comfortably express themselves. Currently, Ty is working on building his brand as a reemerging artist. If he is not at work or writing, he is upholding his position as the Vice President of the Galaxy of Poets. Brother, husband, father, Sigma, Mason. Wait, he's a Mason? Oh, man. Vice President, poet, artist, human being. Ty is a person of many hats and wears them with pride, as each quality is designed to not only improve himself, but the community around him. Good people, I give you Ty Black. Ty, what's good?
I'm gonna let you sip some water on that. That was pretty long. Good grief! Whoever wrote that, man, needs to be put under the jail.
I guess you're going under the jail, man.
I deserve it this time. What's going on?
I'm good. You know what? The funny thing is, I didn't know you was a Mason. Prince Hall, I hope. Anyway,
yes, sir.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
That part.
I see you. Anyway, I see you. Anyway, we have some other people we're here that will be joining our discussion. I'm going to open up their mics. First of all, one of my best friends in the entire world, also one half of the Erotic Love Zone, one half of so many different things here on the network. Honey Drip, all that good stuff. I'm gonna bring her in, La Perla Negra. La Perla Negra, you there?
Hey. No, I'm here.
Hey, what's happening? Beautiful. Then welcoming back to our network here on the 53 Radio Universe, Gina Storm. Gina,
hello,
yes?
Mojave, I'm here.
All right. All right, anybody else, if you want to participate in the discussion while we discuss these things, for the first time, I think what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to cut the music because I really want to get into it and have a discussion before we allow these poets to do their thing. So that being said, Van, if you're going to come in, let me know if you want to come in, you know, let me know exactly what you'd like to do. That would be good. As we are filling up rather quickly and very well, just make sure you raise your hands and I will bring you in there. Please don't interrupt the poets when they're doing pieces and mute yourself. Now, tie and encourage, all right? What I believe to be particularly special about your energy is that you are both mental health advocates. So I wanted to start there before we got into the pieces, because to me it feels like you use your poetry as a tool for mental health advocacy. So what drew you to using poetry for mental health? And either one of you can answer, but I would like to say ladies first.
I agree.
Well, I'm a lady, so I'll go first. So what drew me to it? Long story short, in 2018, I was in the darkest moment of my entire life and picked up a pen because I had all of these thoughts in my head that I couldn't get out. It was stuck there. So I started writing just to get it out. And as I was writing, I noticed somewhat of a cadence, somewhat of a pattern in my writing. And I started to feel different, started to feel as I wrote. And so I wrote a particular piece and I took it to a mic and it felt good to release it. So it helped me, and it helped me get out of a really, really dark spot in my life. So I just stuck to it. And here we are.
Beautiful. Ty.
So when it comes to poetry and mental health, we all know that poetry is release. And much like every artist that agrees with me, it's been a journey. And in that journey, I was able to scribble onto paper and use my voice, my testimony, my challenges, my loss, my defeat. And there are some people out there that really don't know how to use their voice, how to use that. And that's the reason why I fight so hard, because mental health is a serious matter. It's not a trend. It's not a hashtag.
I wasn't sure if you thought, because I'm like sitting on this thing, okay. So I'm gonna start with you first. So when you started to do Mental Health Mondays, the check-in, can you tell me what spurred that series? And I know you just gave me a basis for it, but how do you feel it affects other artists when you're doing the check-in? I see a lot of people attending it. I see a lot of people who are regulars, who you have good relationships with, you know, when you're talking to them. You know, how has it affected the artist community by doing the mental health check-in?
I will say that by doing the mental health check-in, that we're creating a safe space to where artists, especially those that are in our community, feel safe enough to at least voice what's on their mind. Now, if it's more serious than that, of course, we direct them to other resources to where they can get the help that they need. But if they're just looking for support, a listening ear, somebody just to soundboard off of, that's the reason why the Galaxy of Poets are here.
Very nice. Encourage Poet. In what ways have you used your art and the mental health to help other people with their mental health?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, because today I actually hosted my first mental, well, it wasn't my first technically, but my first mental health workshop for the American Heart Association. And in that workshop, I was able to do a piece. So what I did was I created the workshop for the knowledge and how you can help. And, you know, so I went into what you eat and meditation. We actually started off with a meditation. And I also shared personal stories and really captivated them and showed them how human I was. And pretty much said, lately, everyone deals with mental health. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, we all have a mental that we have to take care of. So whether you're in that dark place or have been or never been, you're going to need this information. So I created this artistic type of workshop. We did mental health bingo, and I created this bingo that we made up, and it gave them, it made it fun, and it gave them self-care options as well. So that's how I use my, and I plan on expanding on it. I'm just really getting out in the community, really. I mean, I've done poetry events. I did a Juneteenth event up at the Lincoln Memorial, I think last year or the year before last. And we spoke about social injustice, but we ended up doing other pieces like for mental health, for mental wellness, and encouraging people. So I'm still working on stuff, but so far that's a lot of what I've done with my art and mental health.
Actually, this is really super dope. Actually, one of the things that that stood out to me is you said, I let them see how human I am. And I think that sometimes when we're dealing with mental health, there's a process of dehumanization in dealing with someone who might be undergoing a mental health crisis.
Right.
In particular, one of the things that literally gets underneath my skin is that we literally risk our lives or our relatives' lives or people that we know when we call police to deal with someone who's having a mental health crisis. They're almost all the response is that I've seen in that end in violence is usually that person ends up being killed or murdered at the hands of the police because they basically weren't trained to deal with it. They weren't trained to call somebody and be attached to it. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. The both of you.
Well, I remember seeing something online about, it was like mental health emergency people who came. They were like kind of like paramedics instead of calling the police. I know currently even the process to get help involves police. I remember being put in handcuffs because I was having a mental issue. I was very, very depressed, and when I reached out for help, the police came, you know. So, and it was very traumatic for my children, for me, you know, being put in a police car because I'm mentally not here right now. I wasn't harming anybody. I was having self-harm thoughts, but I wasn't harming anybody else. I literally just wanted help. So I say all that to say, I know I kind of digress, but when it comes to that, I really want people to look into themselves. You know, we can't change who people are. We can only really change ourselves, right? So as far as training, I don't know if there's a training out there for that. If that makes sense. I don't know, it's probably an unpopular opinion, but it's really a people thing. I don't think it's a training thing. If you literally hate the other person because of the color of their skin or because they don't look like you, that's a you problem. You know, so I don't know how to fix it. I don't know if it can be fixed, but I don't really have a lot of thoughts on that. That's just where I stand on that.
Understood. Ty.
As far as a mental health crisis in the emergency, I would say that the police are not trained or are lacking training in that. in that certain situation where they're able to de-escalate without fighting, without putting restraint. And they're just taught to react. They are proactive. They're not, you know, they're not actually meant to talk down and defuse the situation to the best of their ability. So that would be essential, especially in this day and age, because of the fact, because of the climate, because of the optics. You know, you would think that they would actually, instead of using their gun, would actually, or using any other weapons or that could proceed to death, to actually talk it down, to actually have that conversation, to have that training. But again, that's above me, but it's not beneath me. So I would say this, for those that are listening, if you feel that, you know, if you feel very passionate about mental health, get in contact with your local politicians. Contact them and let them know how important mental health is and what this training can do to de-escalate the situation.
Wow. Well, I definitely want to get to this portion of it because I really wanted to show like how you guys are very invested into this, and I think it's rather special that the both of you are here. I think I kind of feel like it's like a resource, you know. But I'm going to change gears. We're going to get into some poetry. So, the question for the both of you: why poetry? Why poetry?
Why poetry? Like, why do we do it?
Yeah. Like, why? Like, why poetry?
Because it is a gift. If you have the gift of words, you have one of the most, if not the most, powerful gifts that you could ever have. It is almost like it is my responsibility to do it at this point. I done discovered my gift. I can't not do it. I would be doing myself a disservice, let alone other people who need to hear it. It's impactful. You get your message across. You touch people. You heal people who need it. You heal the people who are killing people. Somebody may need to hear it. So that's...
That's what's up. How about you, Ty? Why poetry?
Poetry allowed me to cry when I didn't have no tears, or when I wasn't allowed to cry. Let's put it like that. Poetry.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Nah, you ain't. I can't let you slide. When I wasn't allowed to cry, I need an explanation for that. If you're willing to share, please tell me why was you allowed
man.
To cry.
I was raised to, you know, I was raised that men don't cry, that you have to suck it up, buttercup, keep moving, that there's no time for crying. It was only until later in my life that I was told it's okay to cry. You know what I'm saying? And so when it came to poetry, you know, it was the freedom to emote. It was the freedom to write whatever was on my mind without the limitations of those around me. Poetry is my freedom.
Wow. All right. So I got a lot of hands up. So I'm going to open the floor up to see if anybody else would like to ask you guys questions while you're here before we get into this first round of poetry. So... of all the people who have their hands up, number one, let me find out. Area code 757, I think I know who it is, but you can tell me who you are. Area code 757? Okay. Area code 901.
Okay.
Hello? I can't hear you. Hello? Well, I guess we'll return to it. All right. Does anyone have any questions for our two features? Hello? Can you hear me?
I don't have a question, but I want to commend your features for one, the transparency. And I love that line about poetry allowing you to cry when you weren't allowed to. That's that part for me right there. But letting people know that they can reach out and there's somebody out there to help them, that's something that we that have been traumatized need to know. We need to hear that more often. So I just want to thank y'all for that.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
All right. Does anybody else have any other questions before we move into this first round of poetry? All right. So here's what's going to happen. So you guys can decide how you want to do this. You guys can either do a poem or piece, since normally I have much more people, at least three. But if you guys want to do one piece, you know, piece, or you can do two pieces back-to-back and then do the open mic and then close out, however you guys would like to do it. What would you like to do?
Ladies, choice encouraged.
I missed a little bit of the options. I had some kids screaming in the background. Can you repeat that for me, please?
So you can do one a piece and then start the open mic, or you can do two back to back and then start the open mic. What would you like to do, encourage?
I could do one and then I'll let everyone else go.
Okay. Then that's what it is. So with that being said, the mic is yours.
Alrighty. I'm going to do one called Murder, She Wrote. And this is one of the pieces that I wrote when I was in a dark place. So here it goes. My mind was set to hijack my joy. My mind was set to let the pain grow brighter than me. But there's a fighter in me that's been released into the streets of what was once my nightmare on Elm Street, haunting me in my sleep. But now I confiscate the weapons formed against me. I fornicate the enemy till she bleeds out in front of me. The pleasure is mine. The pain is yours. We passing it around like hot potatoes till somebody drops it on the floor. I lost the war. I mean, the game. I mean, the fame. I mean, I was lost in what was popular. I played myself in Russian roulette, emptied my clip till there was nothing left. Now Satan pointing his gun at me with no ammo, pulling triggers with no reaction, no flinching. We fighting over my dead body. I'll never go back inside that casket. But I do visit my grave every once in a new moon to cleanse my head that's stoned in the earth. I am not the walking dead, but I am the walker of life that lives on and on and on and on. My pen keeps writing my story in stone. I can't roll in my grave because I am the cipher of life. The cycle of life revolves around death, but if death revolved around my life, I'd be the walking dead all over again. I fight for me because I choose to. And I'll kill me again just to see her again if I had to. And if I see her in my streets again, we'll be swinging on sight. And I put that on my life. Pump.
Let's go.
Give a round of applause.
Yeah.
Round of applause.
Yo. Talk about shadow work and healing. I love that. Damn.
You know,
we going to give you the applause. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I see you on site, I'm swinging on you. Yo. For real. The shadow work is real. You know, more importantly, does anybody have any other commentary for the poem?
Man, that's so encouraging to know that there are people out there that have been in that dark place, such as myself. I've been there. I've done my shadow work, and I have fought what I call that dragon in the darkness. That is very, very encouraging to know that you're still here, that you actually got through it. That's what you're letting people know, especially women. Not trying to be biased or anything, but we as women, we handle our trauma differently because we're built to work through it, to keep mm-hmm. nurturing and keep helping uplift and grow and put ourselves to the side. So kudos, Ma. I love that, sis. Thank you for that piece. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I piggyback on that. Women, moms, I had postpartum depression. I didn't even know it. You know, you don't get that break. So I appreciate you. It's not biased at all. As moms, you know, dads, be there. Stop. I digress. But dads, be there for your baby mother, your wife, whatever you want to call it. Be there because it's hard.
Yeah.
Like.
Yes. Beautiful. Man.
All right. Well, you know, we're gonna hit the bell on that because it was good. It was absolutely good. Hold on. All right. More applause. More applause. All right. Ty, you ready?
My mic sounds nice. I think you might like this. I promise you I never intended to write this more or less speak this. However, life happened, and instead of being depressed and falling off the deep end, someone gave me the opportunity to get this off my chest. It's been 23 years since diabetes entered my life uninvited. No call before coming to my door, no asking if it needs to kick off its shoes before crossing my threshold. Nah, this motherfucker was rude to begin with. From the get-go, diabetes was beyond disrespectful. There were no pleasantries upon arrival, just me feeling miserable in my own skin. Imagine being at the peak of your life only to be told you'll be spending the rest of your life poking yourself repeatedly, that you'll have to become accustomed to the pain on a regular basis. With a blood sugar of 1500, I shouldn't be speaking to you right now. I wasn't supposed to be here right now. Got married 3 months before hearing this, and now I have to drag my wife into this. There are times when thinking on the bright side of things is challenging. The darkness destroyed any appearance of a smile. And just in case I needed a reminder of what I'm dealing with, this disease scheduled irregular visits to the hospital, where specialists are called in because my veins are sick and tired of being violated. Then there are the amputations. Pieces of me being stolen from me without my consent, signing away parts of my body, allowing medical professionals to butcher me, if only to prolong the punishment, lengthening the time so the inevitable can prepare for its future, all in good faith, believing that I will be happy with what they left with me with. All I wanted was to be able to stand on my own, only to have such hope cut from under me, literally and figuratively. But Ty, you still standing. Barely. My balance is wobbly, but you won't see me teetering because I was made different. If I were to fall, no assistance is needed. Just me and my feelings, and every day I have to fight with myself just to release these tears. It's hard to be vulnerable when you're already broken. Kneeling in puddles of your spirit, attempting to pick up the pieces, only to repeatedly stab yourself with shards of yourself, splinters of yourself lost in the endeavor to pull yourself back together. No one said it was going to be easy. If this role was meant for everyone, then everyone would be on it, but they're not. God did not choose them. He chose you, and no matter the challenge, I know for a fact that you'll see it through. Now, me and diabetes, we have a hate-hate relationship, and that shit's well beyond salvation. Wish I could puncture the hole with 1,000,001 syringes and watch it plummet to the bottom. But every day is another opportunity, right? So with every rising of the sun in the horizon, I wake up with the affirmation on my mind. Diabetes, fuck you. Your presence don't deter the direction of my greatness. And if I have to live my life with you in it, then my testimony will be me dragging you each and every step of the way, kicking and screaming. I will not be defeated. Volcano.
Yo. Oh.
Listen.
You know what?
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know I'm just over talk. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. Listen. You doing right. You doing good. You doing good. I got the reason. Go ahead. Listen. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's good.
What I want to say is, I suffer from diabetes as well, and my biggest fear, and I think the biggest fear is facing the fact that we may have to have some kind of amputation. And not only that, the fact that we don't heal as fast or as well because of our compromised immune system, we may not, we may suffer from infection after the amputation. There's so many risks that are being taken now because of what our system is going through. And it's, you know, people that don't have it really can't understand what we hold inside. Every single day, it's not a day that goes by since you've been diagnosed and you've been told what you have, what you can and cannot do. It's like you lose complete autonomy of yourself because it's no more, I'm going to say reckless behavior. A lot of us have gotten to that point because of you know, not really paying attention. And then there's this thing where it's so much crap that is pumped into us in our diets and our food that over here in America especially, we are allowed to eat crap that is illegal in other parts of the world, other parts of the country. I commend you for that piece because I understand. You go through an angry period, you know, they tell you there's hope. If you catch it early enough, you can get it under control and you may be able to get rid of it, but it's always going to be a question there, and it's always going to be that little bit of fear that's underlying, you know, how bad is it going to get? Am I going to get at the worst I can get? Man, it's so much I can say about this, but I don't want to take up too much time of the show, but thank you for that piece. Man, you brought some heavy hitters in here tonight, Hobbs. Huh? Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I know what I'm doing.
What'd you say? Must it work sometimes?
Yeah, exactly. No, but also as a person who suffers from diabetes as well, and you know, and going through what I've been through with it, and fighting to stay away from, you know, getting insulin. You know, literally mm-hmm. literally, I'm learning to do things the same way that I used to do, but, like, you know, I'm not lifting weights because I'm not near weights and stuff like I used to, which is what I used to get myself back on track before. But to know how the spectrum of diabetes is affected, like, it affects us as African-Americans, point-blank period, you know. And so, like, my grandmother, my father, my brother, we all have it, like, and it's varying things, like, every time I feel a certain kind of way, I think about this, one of the symptoms that might be making its appearance or showing up, you know, coming to your house unannounced. Where you come from? You're like, where you come from? You wasn't here before. You know, rude, right? It's how I was saying rude.
Yeah.
It can really affect your mental health and how you perceive of yourself. And a lot of times, like, me as a black man, I'm just going to speak candidly, you know, there's a great fear of going to see a doctor because what else can go wrong? What else will you find out?
Mm-hmm.
What else will happen to you? And that really affects your mental health. That really makes you feel some kind of way when you find out, you know, I got this and what am I supposed to do about it? Like, how am I supposed to deal with it? And a lot of us will kill over dead. Like, I was just talking to one of my friends. I'm getting ready to do this event in April. And, you know, we're doing a skeleton because, you know, like I'm always operating like 20 things at the same time, which may or may not be effective.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, I said, my new thing is to make sure we give people the flowers while they can still smell them. appreciate them, honor them, hold them, because people are dropping off left and right, and we don't even know why. People just suddenly dying because they've had these things for years that nobody even knew about, and we just see them every day with a smile on their face. And mental health is a lot like that. A lot of people will be suffering so much stuff, and they'll be sitting there with a smile in your face, making you laugh, you know. You got to check on your strong friends. So I, for one, really appreciate the poem. I really appreciate the energy that's going on right now here on FlySpeak. Matter of fact, here on FlySpeak, I got to make sure I do the station identifier so we don't, you know, anything else has happened. But Ty, that poem is powerful. Encourage, your poem is powerful. Like, people don't understand doing the work, going through it, having all this stuff happen. This is all a part of how we maintain ourselves mentally, you know. And it's like, it's deep, you know. We don't rock. So after I do the station identifier, which is about 2 minutes, we're literally going to start the open mic round. But before I do that, let me make sure we hit the bell. That was good for you. And make sure we give some more applause. Yes. Because Encourage Poet and Ty Black are doing it for us at this point. So why don't I just do the station identifier now, which we can get to it because we're about to get it. All right. Hold on for a second. Let's try it.
They know who we be.
This is Serena, the butterfly, also known as Scorpion, and you're locked into Epiphany Radio, the next phase in online radio.
All right, welcome back. This is Epiphany Radio Universe, presenting to you FlySpeak Open Mic featuring Ty Black and Encourage Poet. If you want to call in, the number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. Currently, we are talking about poetry. We're talking about mental health, and we're about to start the open mic round. So if you'd like to participate, make sure that you hit that 1 and raise your hand so we can rock out with our socks out in the meantime, in between time. So before we start this open mic, let me go back to our features. Encourage, Ty, how do you feel about everything so far?
I'm loving it. This energy, yeah. Keep it going.
How do you feel, Encouraged?
I feel good.
All right, so we're going to start this open mic round. We're going to start out with La Perla Negra. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I got a little something. Little something.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to cut this off, and the mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Sky Dance. We are, will always be my favorite part of poetry, because it's amazing how poetry can prompt a being to make anything from anywhere and breathe life into it. Like, no matter how badly it hurts, you can still make a heartbreak sound absolutely beautiful through poetry. But it's sad how the one you make the best memories with can someday become just a memory. Even if I was lost on the darkest of nights among the brightest stars in the heaven, his heart would still shine through and lead me home. I was so enamored with him. So love was never a problem. Sometimes we could talk for hours without uttering a single word because our eyes spoke their own language. But when we lost sight of what we were meant to each other, what we meant to each other, what we really were, the conversations just ended. There's a story to be told behind my eyes, but I'm not ready for it to be read. So I tend to look away while my soul is dancing with its reflection for now because I won't allow anyone to look that deep into them again. Not just yet. He left me with too many unanswered reasons why we are is no more. And with no kiss goodbye, it shall remain an unmended wound. Because all he does is roam around in my mind without touch now. They say it's because I need closure, but I don't think that it exists. Just dreams echoing clarity of an amended soul remains. So as much as I want to revisit that place of we are, I refuse. Because I know that I won't find us there, no matter how hard I look. But just know that we are will always be my favorite part of poetry. Rest in peace.
Ooh.
Always. Ooh. We in here throwing bows. I like that.
This is very intimate.
That whole entire part.
Thank you.
Yeah. I see what we're doing this evening. Bill the Bell. Oh, that was good. All right, so I see we out here rocking. For all those in cloud, whenever we hear a super dope poem, we hit the bell so that you know. Come closer. It's like a dinner bell, but for your ears, but it's good poetry. So that's what we do. Anyway, any comments on Danielle's poem before we move forward?
Thank you for sharing that. Like I said, it was very intimate, and I really appreciate hearing. You know, whenever a poet ends a poem, like, and that's that poem, that's like fire. That's just pretty much saying, let me just drop this mic in front of y'all. So thank you for ending it that way.
Thank you.
It must be done. Matter of fact, I think what I'm going to do, sorry, Gina, I'm going to just skip in front of you real quick. I want to read this poem because since we were talking about diabetes, I think this is the fourth, maybe fifth time I've read this poem. But
here's the thing, Javi. I don't have diabetes, so by all means, the mic is yours.
Why, thank you, Gina. All right. Let me just pull this up. The thing about me and food has been a consummate lover. She never says no. And whenever I need her when I was young, she wasn't around. Maybe she thought I was a clown in this circus. I might have forgotten her purpose because in my family, she was only a need to feed hungry. Maybe it's the way that my mother made do with leftovers and orange crushed soda, did her thing with tuna and leftover chicken made in roux turned gravy, called the chicken a la king. Her three-job hustle was to stop poor boys from having struggle plates. Wait. I might have repressed her stress of putting food in the freezer, and angry stomachs contested existence. Stomachs needed food so badly that it could not wait for mama to get home from the exchange, and she was doing all that she could do. The wants of her to fill me so full that I could hardly breathe. and that it is, I can hardly release the peace of a full gut, wishing that what was up. And when you don't have, you wish that this being my favorite dish. When I was older, I would go to Two Cousins Fish Market for blue crab and shrimp, Pope Pimp working summer jobs for little pay and imps. Pops believed that all you needed was chicken, fried or baked in grits, steak and seafood with special events like birthdays. My 16th birthday, I asked for a steak. A steak. It wasn't as if my body didn't ache for new clothes, Nikes or Adidas, but all day long I dreamed of food. Any excess money went to its no good. A house full of young men decided that food would be the bridge between no and end. My brother Mike, who spent most of his life playing the heavy, was heavy, bigger than a house, heavy like a Chevy, would routinely get in trouble for sneaking and taking food with no leftovers for there to be left over. I remember coming into Grand Grand's after dinner, and all that was left was gizzards. He ate my portion, my provisions, with his stomach vision, an endless hole that ate until his body swole. Cold, soda, comic books. What his good look was is that he could sing. Some of my childhood scars are because of him. He was always hungry. He always ate. His room looked like a hoarder of food raspers, comic books, empty soda bottles, and like he was nesting. He worked to eat. He ate to breathe. He ate to relieve. And we are all this way. I noticed that the more money we had, there was this fad of eating what we desire. Food, a faithful prostitute, never told us of the potential disease of how it puts your body at ease, kissed your midsection with fat. Nutrition wasn't a part of that. Fried chicken was finger-licking. Burger King meant that you can have it your way. The Golden Arches always has French fries, Big Mac, salsa sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onions on a sesame seed bun, and pizza. Pizza was always welcome. The best rent at slumber parties. There was always some who always ate too much and told that their eyes were bigger than your stomach. And what happens if you had four eyes? Imagine being skinny until you discover in college that you can add a plan to buy food at late night. Food is social. Food is communal. And what happens if you eat your fill to fill the holes inside of you? Because food makes you feel good. Sugar is just one molecule off from being an addiction. And my family prediction, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, obese, overweight as we overplate. The deliciousness of cooking us gave us extra soul in the form of rolls. And we are not Buddha worshippers, but our guts proclaim Buddha's name be praised. But we got emotionally high off these hamburgers and deep dives onto these fries and believed all the lies the food told us, till our doctors had to scold us. Demons like diabetes only come when you're too much is too much. And my brother's in the facility right now. Lost his right leg to gangrene. Too much food was a part of this crime scene. I almost lost my life 3 years ago because I ate like I was tripe, and the person I loved even believed that I was suffering of. Me, my father, two of my brothers all have this disease, along with heart issues or straight up heart disease. And food looks pleased. Knowing that our control module is broken like our hearts, like we used to. The problem with me and food is that it can destroy all and any of my feats, and that my food problem now is I can't wait to eat.
Damn, huh? Oh.
Yeah, Doc Trent. Heresy.
Yep. Oh.
That was, oh, man, I felt the emotion in that. There was a lot of power behind that piece right there, Hav. Phew, thank you.
Speak that, poet. Speak that.
Yes. Wow.
Thank you.
You know what?
Thank you.
When you go in on a piece, I mean, all your pieces are felt. We always feel it, but when you go into pieces like this with a lot of emotion, it is really, 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 truly felt deep down inside. We can hear that teardrop in your voice and how you need, if there's such a need for people to know, you know, they may never really understand, but to actually know what it is that you have dealt with. Man, that was a pretty powerful piece. So, wow.
Thank you.
Amazing.
You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you. So that being said, I'm not going to give myself a round of applause. We're going to move over. We're going to move on to Gina Storm. Gina Storm, are you ready? Gina!
Unmute yourself.
Oh, Gina. So we're going to go to area code 901. And I think I know what this is. Area code 901, are you there?
Yes, good evening. How are you today?
Hey, what's happening, Ms. Dion? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I happen to be in fine form. Thank you very much. Glad you came. Glad you made it. So, do you have a piece for us?
Yes, I do.
Well, the mic is yours.
Okay. Ebony lover, you are my most complicated life journey. And at this juncture of us, I find that I am positioned to verbally characterize my virtuosity, to remind you, me, us, of my journey and how I came to be, because just like you, I almost forgot. You see, I almost forgot about my strong place, the place whose depths I rely on when vile hands with plans touch me in places reserved for my future, leaving behind damage and hurt, and then turn away, never realizing that, like a diamond, I shine more brightly when I withstand great force and pressure. Yes, I almost forgot. I almost forgot about my resilient place, the place where I reside to regain my sight when blinded by the pain of today, to repair my vision for tomorrow. I almost forgot about my courageous place, the place I plant my feet firmly and fight valiantly for the promise of grandeur reserved for me and we. And yes, I fight daily. I don't get tired. You see, that's the part about me that you love. Until you decide you don't. I almost forgot my soft, vulnerable, and supple place, the place where I rock you and hold you while you gird, a place where your manhood regenerates, the place where I birth you and your son. You see, I birth you from my womb and your son from my womb, and I almost forgot. Almost. But then I remembered. I remembered that I am strong to reproduce strength generationally. You see, that's what I passed down to our sons and daughters, to change situations long overdue for annihilation. I remembered that I am resilient to speak life to the struggle, the reality versus the myth of my strength. You see, I no longer make excuses for my choices, excuses for choosing to live unencumbered by fear. I'm no longer ashamed of my resilience. I remember that I am courageous even when my character is under attack, courageous in my dignity, femininity, and self-respect that I carry like the purse on my arm and wear like the coat on my back. And yes, I'm clothed in choices. Choices that I've made to liberate my soul from silent tears that I cried that could fill buckets. But make no mistake, I love every single teardrop, because every tear I've cried, I cry for us. And every teardrop is priceless. You see, I remembered my soft, vulnerable, and supple place. the place that inspired the lyrics to our love songs that were jazzy tunes and ragtime swag, because, see, that's where our love story begins. And I remember being proud of us, proud of the strength of character that was the width of your back, because it was broad enough to carry my strength. And we weren't ashamed that I was strong. And then I remembered. You see, I remember that it was you. It was you who traded the strength of your back for the length of your manhood, because you were in fashion, but that shit didn't last. Just ask Mandingo. And then I realized that I had some decisions to make. And it was then that I decided that no one, not even you, whom I love, has earned the audacity to consider my strength, which is my trademark, a travesty. You see, I decided to love all of me, my strength, courage, resilience, my soft and vulnerable place. And it was then that I decided to keep me safe by unloading emotionally unavailable testosterone pimps who rely on my soft, vulnerable, and supple place, like an ATM machine making withdrawals and no deposits. And I decided, my ebony love, that at this juncture of our journey, you have only one decision before you, and that's to remember who I am for you, and that's at peace.
Well, damn. There was so much in the piece. So much in the piece. I'm sitting there like, I'm like, oh, like I was on the roller coaster with you. And then you said, oh, you traded the strength for the length. I was, ooh, ooh. And I still loved you. Okay. What? Hold on for a second.
Yeah.
I had to make some decisions. I was like, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for loving you. That's the hardest thing to make. Thank you for loving
me. That was a dope piece. You know, finding out that you are resilient and how resilient you can be starts with stopping making excuses. I love that, man. That was dope. Very, very dope piece.
Thank you. Hold on. Let me hit you with the bell. One time. Matter of fact, let me get you on that, because you know the strength and the length, you know, and so that shit didn't even last. Like, come on. I like the transparency and the vulnerability. It's a different thing. It's a whole different piece I've ever heard from you. So I commend you. You know, namaste. You really put it on. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on for a second. This is different. So we're gonna loop back. We're gonna go from Miss Dion. We're gonna come back to Gina Storm. She has some family stuff going on. Gina, you there?
I'm here, Javi. I'm so sorry.
I'm about to say, not
my
again.
My mother was praying.
Not again.
Right. I was like, I cannot unmute myself in the middle of a prayer.
Yo, I feel you. No, I feel you, because I just had the rusty butt. The rusty butt just came in. You know, because kids be manipulative when they know you're doing something. They'd be like, yo, how can I manipulate the situation to my greatest advantage?
Right.
He's sitting still. He's not going to move. Let me ask for everything.
We got to do what we got to do when we do it.
He's like, I get it. I'm like, you know, you're going to die when I get off this thing. He's like, I know. He said, but I got all the time until then, you know, him and my daughter's doing the funny stuff today too, because they have their own language that they talk amongst themselves, And so, you know, they got nicknames. He's like, yeah, it was Stinky Butt. He'd be like, hey, doodoo head. Hey, Stinky Butt. Hey, doodoo head. Blah, blah, blah. Hi, Stinky.
Oh, my
Hi,
God.
Doodoo head. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're a grown person. He's a kid. But they just be going at it. Anyway, that's besides the point. Also, shout out to Jesus Storm, one of the newest hosts. Welcome to 50 Radio Universe. Let's give her a round of applause. Welcome to the network. Yay!
Okay.
Welcome back.
I don't want to stop your applause, but here's the thing. Just Jay has been a guest host, but I'm a previous host. I had a show back in 2009. That was called Gina Storm Groove. And so I'm not new to Epiphany. I just came home.
Mm-hmm.
That part.
So why are you here? So, you got a piece for, do you have a piece for us?
I do. So y'all were doing diabetes, and I need to do a breast cancer piece because currently my second mom, my mother's big sister, Myra, is battling breast cancer. She's already survived stomach cancer. So I titled the piece that I wrote back in October, which was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, on the 6th of this year, Damn You Breast Cancer. And I'm going to spit it for y'all.
Okay. The mic is yours.
Thank you. I'm my mother's only daughter, my brother's only sister, my daughter's primary parent. And when it comes to cancer, especially of the breast, I fear it. See, it does not discriminate. There's no age, no race, no gender that's excluded. Early detection through mammograms are your best bet. When neglected, the outcome is usually regret. I've seen things unspeakable. Smells at the cancer center, unfathomable. My stomach daily churns. My eyes, I'm sorry, they burn. Two aunts have died while another two survive. One had a lumpectomy and the other a mastectomy. The breakdown is tumor removal, breast intact, then later, no breast remained, lymph nodes also removed under her arm as her primary doc and support system were here with me and kept us in check. If this is the diagnosis I someday will get, I cover my missing breast scar with tasseled pasties and twinkle like a little star, wearing pink to make people think, because I will do my breast exam myself, and I will say, damn you, breast cancer, always know, no matter what life deals me, the cards that I'm given, the numbers that exist, I will continue to persist. Because I will not give up, and I am strong in spite of this. So if breast cancer is a diagnosis that is given to me, I will fight whatever fiber of my being. And Gina Storm, thank you for indulging me. In peace.
Wow, Gina. Oh, Jesus tonight. Wow.
All right.
That was well, that was so much strength in that piece. Man. We just lost a beautiful spirit to breast cancer. And I before that, I've lost people that were very close to me to that ugly thing. And it takes a lot of strength to
the Perdo Negra. Pretty pause. That's all I got.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's man. Whew. Thank you for that peace. Yeah.
God rest her soul.
Yeah,
for three calls.
I don't have diabetes, but I have family members who have battled and survived cancer, battled and were succumbed to breast cancer, and that I'm a caretaker for. Tomorrow would be our last radiation, and I say ours because me and my mom do this on days in which we feel like we can't even stand up, let alone get dressed. Will we go with her to the cancer center to support her in this battle? And tomorrow's her last one. So tomorrow we're going to be able to ring the bell. So I'm happy to be here tonight to celebrate this event with y'all because that'll be our last day of radiation. She's already finished all therapy.
Thank God. That's
cool.
Good, baby.
Thank God.
That's a testament.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. It ain't
right,
easy, but it's got to be done.
Most definitely. So we're going to move from you, Gina. We're going to move on to area code 504. I think I know who this is, but we're going to let them announce themselves. Area code 504, are you there?
Yarr.
Are you really just going to just come over here and just...
Yarr.
That's what we're doing. Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Royal Trench, aka Prince Drippy. Prince Drippy. What's happening, dog? What's going on there, Brody?
Oh man, not much, man. You know, enjoying the show. Hats off. Much love to everyone.
Oh, it's been amazing. Our features in Courage and Ty Black have been amazing, amazing features. And the poetry that's been following has been quite incredible. So I'm pretty sure you are going to add your log to the bonfire. Do you have a piece, sir, that you would like to share?
Do I have a piece? Man, where do I start? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay there, sir. The mic is yours.
It won't be drippy, sir. I'm going to do a non-drippy piece. How about that? Right. Non-drippy.
Yeah, well, I was hoping that you was going to do a non-drippy piece. You know, we're not dripping over here right now. Mm-hmm. We're doing, like...
I mean,
it is open mic, so it's not like I can, you know, anything else. But, you know, it's whatever you want to do, sir. The mic is yours.
All right. That's a new piece. I tried it out before. It's to a picture prompt, and Javi mad at me because it was his picture. But I never saw her as a conquest. She never saw me as a conqueror. Her land voided of a chance to be a mother, but if offered an opportunity, we would have named our first child Africa. Teaching Africa to invade segregated continents of small businesses, those countries of entrepreneurship. Raising Africa to be pure, knowing as Africa enters the world, we are afraid for Africa. Because we know words do hurt, especially for Africa. See, she will return with war wounds and battle scars of being hurt by verbal assaults, being abused worse than asphalt, and then being blamed like it's Africa's asphalt for sending subliminal taunts to rain that they will tear from her until blood diamonds rain from Africa's hurt onto the sands of deserted deserts, oases whose thin line has men standing at Africa's equator, juggling the dangers of living in a concrete jungle where Africa's cat will be treated like a trophy until no one wants it. not mounted on the wall. Seeing Africa as an area rug that gets back rubs from their footsteps because they'd rather track on Africa's back than to acknowledge that their ego is still missing important parts like a mind, a heart, a soul. Unfortunately, my Africa would never be. Africa's mother's ability to reproduce has been reduced by the drugs that wasn't made for her. Cells now hold her story as a plague because of a hysterectomy. Her natural immunity factory now out of business from the crab snipping into the wound of a desecrated wound that has birthed a tomb filled with insecurities, questioning, ain't I a woman? If she is missing those identity markers, marking the territory, Doctors Without Borders, pharmaceutical laws, Hippocratic Oath of Hypocrisy, and she is being forced those drugs whose side effects connect dual cycles of bleeding as she tries to expel the hell whose fire refuses to cauterize the wound. Until we are left terminal points whose final destination represents ending to the wanting to be parents. Even surrogate could not fill the void of a missing catalyst whose purpose was yet determined. So yesterday, me and Africa's mother mourned the separation of Africa from her motherland.
Damn. Come through with it.
Lord. Oh my God. Oh,
I'm
transparency tonight. You know, it takes a lot of strength to be transparent.
Fire, bro.
It takes
absolute fire.
It is. Yes, it takes a lot of It takes a lot of strength to be transparent because we deal with so much stuff, and we as a people, we hold it in because we are taught to, we have to be strong, we have to keep going on and sometimes put aside our personal feelings and issues in order to keep striving and making it in this world and to let people in. We as poets, we allow people in to our innermost, our deepest parts, our hurt. Damn, I'm so used to you dripping. You know what? I don't think I'm the only one that we tend to forget that you are still a poet. So you are very versatile. And that, man, that was wow. I'm at a loss for words, and that's unusual for me. But I love the piece. Amazing. Wow.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Likewise. Very creative.
So, all right, because we definitely want to make sure we get you guys back on the mic, but we're going to continue on with open mic. We're going to go to area code 757, and I believe I know who this is as well. Area code 757?
Peace and blessings. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Peace and blessings. This is Queen Sedina, the Quintessence. I wasn't sure which 757 you were referring to, because I don't assume I'm the only one calling in.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one, but you're the only one calling from 757 now, so.
Okay, great. Okay. I had wanted to comment earlier during when you had your features on first, so I'm glad that I did get a chance. I have a piece as well, but I really had to comment on the whole topic of discussion. Your features are amazing. I haven't been on a Blog Talk radio show since about 2017 because I used to host on a different network and things didn't go too well. And I just hadn't listened, but I still follow all the poets that I had met during, you know, that time that I spent on Blog Talk. So it was good to hear from Gina Storm and all of you. I feel like I'm always, you know, the Creator blesses me to be in the right place at the right time. And that's how I was able to be blessed to meet Encourage the Poet, and it was just, you know, fate that I was listening tonight, you know, that I learned that she was going to be on. So the mental health topic, the talk about diabetes, everything, I was like, all of this really hits home. I'm a mental health professional myself. I had to leave the field due to burnout in 2017. A lot happened in 2017, and I was re-triggered by some things, re-triggered by what happened with the network, re-triggered by even the topics of discussion because I hosted a show on domestic violence. So not, you know, feeling healed at one point and thinking that I was strong enough to be able to do that because I worked in advocacy, I worked in a domestic violence shelter, I worked as a counselor as well, but hearing other stories and stuff, it just kind of brought back a lot for me that I wasn't completely healed from, so I took some time away, but not, you know, from the actual craft of poetry and from advocacy and things of that nature. So listening to you all tonight, the poetry, how it's relieving, you know, dealing with, you know, illnesses, physical illnesses, dealing with depression, even down to Encourage experience with when she reached out for help. Because being on both sides of that, I know all too well how serious it is that these, you know, police and law enforcement need to be trained more in dealing with people dealing with mental health crises, because that's one of the barriers to why people don't reach out. Because when you're reaching out and you're at a point where you're at your wit's end, you don't want to be criminalized in that moment, because that can set you back even further than, you know, what you're actually dealing with at the time. So all of this conversation that you all had today was just right on time, and I really appreciate it. And oh my goodness. So I just wanted to start with that.
Okay, well, we're going to give you a bell for that. You get a bell.
Thank you.
Agreed, yes.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, my love.
Are you ready?
You're welcome.
Just FYI, we met because I was stranded in the middle of nowhere, and she picked me up.
No, seriously, we were at a poetry event, and it was both of our first time attending this poetry event, and I was so inspired by Encourage, and I have to introduce myself, and she really did happen to be stranded because she's new to our area, and so it just, you know, it kind of went on from there. Like, she's great, and she has inspired me to come back out of my shell because, like I said, I was re-traumatized by some things, and it's been a while since I've actually been as publicly vocal as before, but I love listening. I still, like I said, I pay attention to what's going on social media and everything, but I hadn't called a Blog Talk show in 5 years, so you guys have broken my whatever you want to call it, a hiatus. You guys have broken that tonight, and it was the best that, you know, to bring me back in. This has been the greatest experience, so thank you all for that. So I just want to leave y'all with a piece. I wrote this piece back in 2016 for a close friend of mine that was dealing depression. And, you know, watching people, especially your loved ones that you're close to, experience, you know, such great lows, and to feel like you're helpless in trying to help bring them out of that, like, it can really be another type of, it's vicarious trauma. It's another traumatizing experience because, you know, when you love somebody, you want to be able to be there for them and help them. And sometimes, you know, the pain is so deep in others that, you know, it's like they're unreachable. So this piece is called Eyes Wide Shut. Can you still hear me? Because sometimes when I put my speaker on, it kind of muffles.
No, we can hear you perfectly fine. And the mic is yours.
Okay, great. Thank you. Eyes wide shut, my subconscious emerges from the sea of suppression. Visualize broken dreams and false promises, all hope sinks in a depression. drifting on a memory of things I've never had, pondering why the still waters always make me feel so sad. Needing to move beyond the bitterness, I push into full throttle, nearly drowning inhibitions in the rapid flow of each bottle. The message inside reads of the love that I've forsaken, left standing on the shore of consciousness, praying that I'd awaken. From a lifetime of seclusion, submerged in a protective bubble, beneath fears of losing myself to self-inflicted struggle, stuck in the gravitational pull of centrifugal motion, going nowhere fast around this whirlpool of emotion. No strength to fight as my subconscious slowly descends back into the depths of the unknown regrets I hold within. Eyes wide shut on this voyage of life, seems I've never seen the sun. Reliving the same moment, not realizing that that day is done. Foreign phrases of good morning salutations and night's sweet dream wishes get lost in translation. I am but a lonely warrior fighting against the shadows, defeated versions of myself deteriorating in the gallows. Someday someone will recognize how hard I really tried to stay afloat on this shallow river of all the tears I've cried and pull me from the wreckage of my fervent stream and pry open my eyes to finally escape from this waking dream. And that's that piece.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
The imagery, the storytelling. Oh, gracious. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Carter.
Whoa, whoa. Oh, no, Danielle dropped.
Oh, no.
All right. So, no, we definitely appreciate the piece. And more importantly, thank you for breaking your streak and coming back to Blog Talk, you know, and rocking with us here on the For Real Entertainment Network, a 50-way yours. And I'm glad that you heard about it, which is super great. And we love it. Danielle, you back?
I'm back. My electronics just went haywire. It was like the aliens was trying to send me a message or something. It was sounding crazy. I had to hang up.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right,
piece.
So super
thank
amazing
you,
piece. I'm glad good people know good people. Well, don't be a stranger. We do amazing things here on the 50 Ray Universe. We are here every single day, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. West Coast. So, you know, thank you for coming out and rocking out and supporting. Of course, our feature encouraged poet and doing some hefty poetry yourself. We appreciate you.
Most definitely. Y'all have a great night.
All right. Well, don't go nowhere. We got another round with our poets. Okay. I'm just making sure. I was like, hey, where you going? Now, come up next to the microphone, a man who needs no real introduction because he's been out here grinding, making it happen with the Small House of Poetry on Clubhouse, if you haven't been there. They cultivate and curate an amazing space for artists. Come in with your poetry. Come give everything that you need to give and do everything that you need to do. You will find it is the most excellent space that conducts positive energy, dope poetry, and connection. So back as a guest host, back I was a guest host here, but back as a host here on Epiphany Radio Universe, I give you Just Jay. Just Jay, are you there? Just Jay?
Yeah, man. I almost didn't want to come in after that introduction, man.
Come
hello?
Stop playing around.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm right here. Now I can hear you.
Okay,
no,
cool. Yeah, I almost didn't want to come in on that introduction, man. Thank you very much, Mojave, man. You know how I look up to you, bro. Appreciate you.
Hey, look up to me. Man, listen, you're doing amazing things over there in the Small House of Poetry. You got all the good peoples over there, man.
Yeah, but they stuck with me, though, so it kind of evens out my hobby.
Hey, listen, that's not a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, brother. It's actually a good thing. And welcome back to Epiphany. We're glad to
have you. Amen. Thank you for the welcome, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm a little bit older, man. I'm a little bit older now.
He's like, I'm wiser. Are you still doing the same thing? Matter of fact, come on. We gotta get to these final pieces from our feature, so I got to get you going. So are you ready?
Yes,
sir. To share a piece with your classic voice? All right, sir. The mic is yours.
I'm going to go ahead and go in. Thank you, brother. All right. The other day, I walked through the mountains in my mind. I trekked over the heights and slid down into the valleys and tepidly walked into a cave. Braving the shrill of bats and the feel of sliminess from both the multi and the low-legged varieties. And for my efforts, I emerged wiser. I walked down to my shore to wash myself in the bluer than blue sea, inhaling of this beauty. I dove into the waters and searched the depths for long-lost treasures not easily brought up, even when found. But at the end of this trial, I managed to pull another chest back into my cave. Next, I walked to my woods, where I pulled my machete and I started chopping through vegetation the wilderness unkept, hacking and slashing till I reached the clearing, where I sat at the stump of a great fallen cedar. I sat there, and I stared into the eyes of a bear, an eagle, and a rat for hours, while being jeered at by a hyena and a jellyfish with a spine. I grew weary of this game, so I left, walking poolside of one of my many oases of refreshment, taking in its delights of food, drink, love, and procrastination, recharging myself. Full, I closed my eyes, and another day whooped by, just for me to awaken, plummeting from a towering cumulonimbus that looked like Everest only was in the sky. I'm falling, falling, falling. But I am not afraid, because I see a sea of cool night sand rushing up to meet me. I also see a table, an umbrella, a chair, and 1 liter of water, of which I did not partake, because I knew this was a trap. So I sat there in the chair at this table with a cloth canopy for cover, and I stared, scanning the distance, as the horizon's edge started to glow from the sun, and its radiant effects have already started licking the water from my body, trying to find a way to dry my will and my bones. I know that if I walk my line straight, straight as an arrow, right towards the heat of the sun, I might just live. And this is all I remember of that day. Exhausted and roasted, I walked to the edge of this oven to plant my face in the cool metal of tall grass, being refreshed by the giant drops of dew as the dew reflects the moonlight, glowing the way to quench my thirst. And like an animal, I lapped, and the water burned so good, searing my swollen tongue. It felt like razor blades as the water cut pathways through my collapsed throat, and I could feel my healing commence, being serenaded by the creatures of the night. For they saw me from far off, when feet were dredging through white-hot sands, heated by the big ball of fire till I was driven mad, walking in circles like a man drunk from cheap wines because self-fermentation is the only help heat offers to dying men. A large drink from a cup of madness, the madness to not understand that a man is near his end. But I lay here, breathing, cooling, and rejuvenating in this meadow. Having survived all these trials, but now I must awaken to leave. And I attest to all that I have said in this poem are true, because this poem was an inception of my mind. Poem.
Yeah. All right.
I appreciate you.
For Mojave and Perla Negra, I have to just say this, Gina Storm and Just Jay, we have a show on Saturday night on Epiphany for the first time ever. We'll be co-hosts on the show at this network. He's been a guest host and I've been a previous host. We're just coming home. And that piece for me is everything. So thank you, Jay.
All right, now. You know what, Jay?
You have
this way of giving such a descriptive visual where it makes the person feel like they are right there. And your tone, your flow is amazing. I've always admired your poetry. You know, you be on something else, but I still admire your poetry, and I thought that was really, really dope.
Yeah, it was super dope, and it was very, you know, you're a painter, you paint, but you paint with words, and that's what I think poets do, and that's what you did in this piece. Super dope and fresh. And, of course, that voice, bro. Our voice should be on voiceovers all over the place, but you know this already. You know this. Any other comments for Just Jay?
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I was on mute. I said hey to Perla Negra. Thank you, and Mojave. You keep on saying that, man. I'm gonna go ahead and get into that and do that, man.
I'm trying to tell you. All right. So thank you for rocking and reading, and we look forward to your show on Saturday nights. It's gonna be really dope. I already know.
Yeah, we're gonna try to have some fun, Mojave. We're gonna try to have some fun, man. I want to have as much fun as you have. That's type of fun I want to have.
Much fun. But listen. I only have fun because it feels like breathing. But more importantly, I get to do amazing thing and bring amazing people on here. And speaking of which, let's check back in with our features. Encourage and Ty, how are y'all feeling?
I'm feeling good. No complaints. I'm enjoying everything that I'm hearing. I truly appreciate everyone who came and shared some poetry. My ears are just singing. So I'm feeling good. I love the energy.
That's what's up. And Ty, how are you feeling?
Man, to be in the company of like minds, a poetic mind, is such a time to be had. I'm truly enjoying myself, and I appreciate this platform.
Well, thank you for coming. So before we get into your final pieces and we close out, because it is a school night, and plus it's raining, and I got to go outside, and I don't want to, but complaining. Where can people find you, Encourage? And if you have books, how may they purchase them?
Well, I don't have any books yet, but they're coming. You can find me on Instagram as Encouraged Poet, and that's Encouraged with an I. So you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok also as Encouraged Poet with an I.
Oh, that's what's up. And Ty, how many people find you?
All right. Well, again, thank you for the opportunity. You can follow me at Ty Black ATL. That's one word, no spaces, no dash, none of that. Just TYBLACKATL on Instagram. You can also find me on Facebook, Tyrone Blackwell. And also you can follow the Galaxy of Poets. That would be the Galaxy _of_Poets on Instagram.
And what is the Galaxy of Poets, sir?
The Galaxy of Poets are a collective of diverse creatives that advocate for mental health awareness and domestic abuse.
That's what's up. Yeah, matter of fact, yeah, I'm going to have to borrow you, Ty, because we are definitely going to cover a domestic violence show. We did one in October, but we're going to come back and visit that. There are many different things that we do on this particular network. But if you're within the sound of my voice, you have 90 seconds to call into this number, which is 319-527-6300. The Blog Talk lady does not play. She will cut you off. You will not get in. You'll have to go to the next show. If you're within the sound of my voice, call in now to catch our features closing it out, and as well as information as to what's be happening for the rest of the week here on Epiphany. So, in the meantime, in between time, you got 60 seconds before the Blog Talk lady closes down the live stream and you get to go into overtime, which is what we have to do, what we call the after hours. But make sure that you call in. You have approximately 45 seconds. But in the meantime, in between time, encourage. Are you ready? Are you ready to close out with a piece?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. The mic is yours.
Okay, cool. It's a thin line between fear and faith. It's like walking on a balanced beam covered in grapefruit honey, bittersweetly balancing on what seems to be impossible. Slipping and falling from the constant fear quakes under my feet, living upside down for me. The darkness waits for me like a tsunami waves ready to consume me, but my mind controls the wind. My mind, under the matter of facts from my history, my past, my chapters that's been written in the stones that gravitate me to the core of my fear. I feel numb, with no clothes on, every part of me free to see with naked eyes, Novocaine to my brain to survive the evil that lives in such close proximity that if I sneeze, our eyelashes could link. So close that I can hear its diaphragmatic breathing, inhaling my fumes from the fire within me, the flame that never extinguishes but always distinguishes who I am from where I am. So I stick my enemy to the web of self-inflicted conviction to dissect the heart of the demonized thoughts with my words, with affirmations. I'm not dead, I'm just healing. I'm resting on the thin line between fear and faith. On the side of faith is where I stand in the hurricane of resistance from the enemy. I walk towards the eye of the storm where I'm caught with toxic raindrops falling on me. Debris from shattered glass houses falling on me, bricks and chains from slavery falling on me, all while on this balanced beam of light, covered in grapefruit honey, bittersweetly balancing on what seems to be impossible. Standing and fighting on the constant faith quakes under my feet, living downside up from me. The light waits for me like tsunami waves ready to consume me, but my mind controls the wind. My mind, over the matter of facts, from my history, my past, my chapters that's been written in the stones that gravitate me to the core of my faith. On this thin line between fear and faith. Caught in the crossfire between my faith and fear, the enemy aimed from my head, targeted my wounds, and pulled triggers to bring me near where my problems feel heavy, but my weight on God balances me so well that I moonwalk over my traumas. I push to stay grounded. Being in God's space suits my needs. I can belly breathe in an atmosphere that can kill me. No pressure in this place that lives on the thin line between fear and faith. Hold on.
God. Yeah, come on.
Very nice.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my applause ready. And we're going to throw a bell on top of that. man. It has been a distinct pleasure having you on the show, Encourage. It went as much as I felt it would, with high energy and incredible poetry from you. And I want to thank you on behalf of 15 Radio Universe, as well as myself, for coming here and really rocking out with us. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And this was amazing. This is something that needed to happen. The alignment is everything. It's no coincidence. And I truly appreciate you having me here. I had an amazing time. And thank you for everybody who came.
No, you're welcome. And, yeah, I go where the energy takes me. As a matter of fact, brief story. I remember one time I hopped on IG Live and, I came and a certain brother said, "Hey, we're not doing erotic poetry, brother." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't just do erotic poetry." So the funny thing is, he came to the slam, right? So when he came to the slam, because he's supporting Ali the Goddess and everything else, right? I picked on him the whole time. I was just messing with him. But the other thing that I like is that what'd you say?
Good times to be had.
Yes, it was. But I got him nodding his head. I was like, I had him on the head nod. I was catching with the head nod. I was like, yeah, he got a good taste in music too. But he was nodding his head. I was like, yes. And then we had a subsequent conversation, and one of the things I love about this brother is that when you talk to him, he smiles. He smiles with the whole of his self, like it brightens up a room. And I don't think that a lot of times we as black men, we get scared of our masculinity when we can tell another brother like, "Yo, brother, I like the way you smile. That's great," And he accepted fully, and I was just like, "Yo," I said, "this brother's real dope, energy crazy. Off the chain," and I mean, and literally, I kind of figured out how to connect, because I think that you two, Encourage, and you will have resources to share amongst each other when it comes to mental health, and that's one of the other reasons why I did, because I go where the energy takes me. But that being said, did you enjoy yourself, Ty?
I did. Yes, I did. That I did. It was for my first time at the slam. It was a great experience, and the people that were there were welcoming. It wasn't nothing, cold about it. It was just everybody of like minds just spitting poetry. It was great.
It was super fantastic. The energy was really, really high. It was really, really good. That's one of the things I loved about it. But much like it's here, you can't go wrong, following the energy and letting the energy rock. But as you are officially our last poet, and we're going to close out because it is a school night, I got to go outside and it's raining like I don't know what. You have a piece for us, sir.
Yes, sir, I do.
The mic is yours.
Lord, in your infinite wisdom, I respectfully ask you, why me? I mean, I appreciate your confidence in me, but presently I can't see what you see in me. In my opinion, the faith you have in me is wasted and could be spent on someone who would better benefit from such a blessing. I just don't believe that I'm worth it. I don't deserve this, and instead of trusting in your reasoning for doing this, I duck and dodge it with every opportunity, hoping that you would get the point that your creation does not meet your expectations. The bar has been set too high, and I'm struggling to pull up to see over it. And rather than believing that I have it in me to see it through, I climb down the ladder of success and succumb to the fact that I'm a failure, that I'm not meant to touch the greener pastures, more or less get a glimpse of the paradise on the other side. So, Lord, I ask you again, why me? Why do you invest in everything in me, knowing that you'll probably never get a return on your investment? All your capital and resources being committed in this venture only to crash and burn worse than the stock market. But there has to be a reason why you chose me, right?
because in my life there were times where the darkness could have consumed me only to have me see another day. Maybe you're attempting to prove actions speak louder than words, that by going through trials and tribulation, you're providing a chance for me to fill in the context loop. Maybe I just need to open my eyes a little bit wider or allow my heart to accept the answer. With each and every adversity, I'm growing stronger. There is no need to fear because I'm the danger. I'm the problem to these issues surrounding me. These challenges require a solution, and you place me in a position to be a positive outcome in the equation. I just have to recognize I'm equipped with such greatness. Within my spirit, I possess the brilliance to eliminate everything in front of me. I hold the essential element to the formula. I just have to see it in me to believe it. And with this key, I unshackle the titan that has sat at the bottom as long as I can remember, hidden from the world, isolated with only his thoughts, finally rising to the heavens, lifting his head with a crown full of clouds and proclaiming, this is my story. This is my testimony that has been etched into the depths of my soul. I hold a flame that mere mortals dare not to touch. And in my journey, it is my purpose to find those willing to receive this message wholeheartedly. There's a reason why you're here. And in this moment, you have the option to either accept it or deny it. But in the contemplation leading to your ultimate decision, know that someone believed in you to get you this far. And when all this has failed and abandoned you, he had your back. So maybe the reason why he chose you is because he loved you. That in the expanse of his compassion, he poured into you, knowing that one day you will share your gifts to the world. So as you open your mouth, as you pick up that pen, you are becoming that living testament to the question, why me?
Well, man. Wow. Wow. I got so much to say, but the show is ending, so I'm going to leave it for next time. Amazing.
Listen, I've seen a lot of flexes before, but this is definitely a flex of a major order. I want to give a round of applause to our features, Encouraged Poet, Ty Black. I want to thank everybody who came out tonight to participate and come listen to our church discussion on poetry, mental health, and hear some qualified poetry from everybody involved. It's been amazing. I don't think Van is up to it, so I think, let me see if he is. Hold on for a second. Mr. Station Manager, sir, are you there?
Hey, 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 what's happening, Javi?
What's happening? Would you be able to tell us what's going on in the Tiffany Radio universe?
Yeah, I can give the rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Erotic Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday nights to get down with J. Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is Iron Sharpened Iron with Anonymity and guest host La Pearl La Negra. You heard just J and Gina Storm Saturday night, their first show. Make sure y'all tune in. Sunday nights, the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, Paul Sampson and Alonzo. Monday night, y'all, King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. And then next Tuesday night, y'all, we'll be right back here with Mojave and one of his shows. Mojave, what we got, War Council or Honey Dripper? What we got?
War Council. War Council.
War Council, there it is.
War Council, I got the topic. We're doing connection versus attachment. Connection versus attachment. What is your connection, and why is it greater than attachment? It's going to be real good, good relationship discussion. It's egalitarian panel of conscious black men and black women having a terse discussion. So if you want to check that out, come back here next Tuesday at 9 p.m. We open discussion for everybody. You know, we have a panel that sits in, but it's all about the exchange. And with that being said, thank you, Mr. Van Metals, for rocking out with us, station manager, and telling us everything else is going on. Now, for all who else is who's listening to the playbacks, everything else, just in case you didn't know, I am the fearless leader of the Drip, the Honey Drip Poetry Collective, and we will be this weekend. We will be in Greenville, South Carolina for the all for the masquerade, the all black masquerade, which is also doubling as a celebration for Mike and Michelle, of course, of the Ain't Right Tribe and Poetry After Dark fame on IG. We will be there on Saturday doing our thing, drip to drip. It's going to be an awesome and an amazing time. So if you have the chance, you're in the area, come through. It's going to be nice. We're going to be at Wakanda Lounge. Yes, and it's black owned. Hallelujah. Make sure that you come check us out. If you're in the area, we're going to be rocking out with your socks out. We'll see if we can do some stuff. And I believe I'm bringing my DJ set, but I heard Chocolate Rocket is going to be there, so I might not have to. So that being said, with everything else, if you can do anything, be kind. And if you can do anything else, be good. But more importantly, be yourself and love yourself so that you can give love in return freely. All right. That being said, I want to thank our poet, Encourage Poet, and Ty Black for coming out. I want to thank you guys for coming out here to Epiphany Radio Universe, where we encourage you to take your socks off. Baby, baby, it's a free, it's a for real entertainment network. I want to thank everybody for coming out. And then God bless you. Good night. Be safe. And wash your hands because, you know, COVID is still out here. All right? So bless y'all. I'm going to see y'all later. This episode will self-destruct in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
good night.
4, 3, 2, 1.